By God, they blinked.
It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 13th day of October 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe around. Hi, I'm Robin. I'm in a lot better mood. I got great news today. The insurance company blinked, and they have authorized my surgery. It's still on. So now all I got to do is lead the life sanitary and not pick up any random maggot-spread viruses, and amazing things will be happening as the next month arrives. Yeah. If you'd like to be part of that merry, wacky, zany, etc., and this being prayer meeting Wednesday, it also serves as our virtual cathedral of common sense. Well, head on over, pick a screen name out and a password, and you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers, audited a shot, and squeaky, and capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Brother Deacon Asa is keeping a close eye on the stream for blips and blaps and blurps. And, jump right in, because I think the conversation is going to be fine. We got a lot of stuff to go into this evening. But, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thanks going out to our 13th day of the month, partial sponsors of the program. And so that means thank you to Gary and Gaia. Thank you very, very kindly for being part of the reason this program remains on the air. Fundraising goal for this evening stands at $1,240. Let's see. We got down, we got down below the $1,000 mark, and we are at $240 to go to finish fundraising for last Friday, and hopefully we will knock out some portion of that. Thank you so much for keeping everything going. Like I said, I'm in a fantastic mood. I got a communication from my surgeon earlier today. I actually at that point in time I was taking our daughter to a doctor's appointment, and I saw the message come through, and I called Agnes and I said, can you be on the phone with me when I open this up, because I'm a little scared. And she said, don't be, I know what's in it. And so I opened it up, and it said the insurance company has agreed to cover your inpatient surgery. Wonderful. I was just floored. Because, well, pessimists never get their hearts broken. Well, yeah, they do, but you know what I mean. So they blinked. They blinked. And that's the most marvelous news I've had in quite some time. And I want to thank all of you for all the good thoughts and the positive energy that went into this. Thank you so much. Thank you so very, very much. So now we get down to the business of planning and looking for things like an Airbnb for 6 weeks. And let's see, I already got my donut cushion. Got to start laying in supplies. And oh my goodness gracious, anybody who knows about the surgery knows exactly the logistics that are involved. It's going to be, I don't know, it feels a lot like planning for the D-Day invasion of Normandy. On a very personal, small scale, of course. Right. But nonetheless, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, under the direction of Ferg, by the way, he's getting into the business, as it were. Ferg's been hankering for matzo ball soup. And, you know, when you get a hankering for matzo ball soup in West Virginia, that can be a problem. Because, well, neither the Wiggling Pig, nor the Kroger, nor the Food Lion, nor the Wally World carry so much as a single fleck of matzo meal. Nor do they carry full-on matzah, which you can grind into matzo meal. No, they don't. And so, Ferg, it feels kind of like a torch being passed, or at least a ladle. Ferg got to thinking about how badly he wanted matzo ball soup, and he put his creativity to it, and by God, he did it. He made a beautiful chicken broth, gorgeously seasoned, little flecks of parsley floating in it, and casting about, trying to figure out, what? Because, you know, we didn't want to wait to have to order matzo meal from Amazon. And he doesn't have that much patience yet. And so he got to thinking, and you know what the boy did? He went out and bought Progresso plain unseasoned breadcrumbs. And he used that for matzah. And I thought that was just amazingly creative. I thought it smacked of a little bit of genius, you know, because necessity is a mother. And so when I got home from taking Margie to the doctor, he had waiting for, because he was so proud, and I'm so proud of him. And he had waiting for me a hot steaming bowl of matzo ball soup with one of those Katz's deli-style baseball-sized matzo balls in it, and I want you to know the damn thing was delicious. Oh, it was fantastic. I'm so proud of him. And so the little old blue-haired ladies thought it would be a lovely idea, too. You know, they did chicken and dumplings last week. They got chicken broth down to a science. And so instead of those usual styrofoam trays, the little old blue-haired men went out delivering matzo ball soup amongst the virtual imaginary community that has Fellowship Hall dinner. Yeah. It was some kind of good. Yes, it was. So, you know, congratulations to Ferg. I'm so, so proud of him. It just did my heart good. And we've got a lot of prayer meeting Wednesday kind of shenanigans to get into. But I wanted to share an email with you that came from our pal Tamara. Tamara listened last night, and you know I came away, and I don't think there was that much disagreement. But Tamara writes, "I hope you're okay-ish. I know I'm not. After hearing well-intentioned family fail to listen to you and to repeatedly egg you on to do a thing that you said over and over will harm you, watch that so-called comedy special, I'm upset. I'm not watching it. And I'm not supporting Netflix in trans erasure. I'm not going to try to out-explain Chappelle's defenders even when he says he says himself that he is Team Turf. It bugged me all damn night and into the day. We women are good sports. We feminists do have a sense of humor, and we discriminating viewers and audience members know how to distinguish art from pandering for yucks and bucks. I have an MFA, Master of Fine Arts, for fuck's sake. I know you appreciate the finer things, which is why you can talk about, say, the art of beer, though you no longer choose to drink it. I heard the poet, Saeed Jones, and went back and read his words to make sure I got it right, and I think I did. We don't need to hurt ourselves in order to have a conversation. Wait a minute. We disappeared. That was interesting. I love it when the internet just collapses briefly. Let's do this again. So I don't know at what point I disappeared. Let me go back so that we get Tamara's note in toto. Dearest Robin, I hope you're okay-ish. I know I'm not. After hearing well-intentioned family fail to listen to you and to repeatedly egg you on to do a thing that you said over and over will harm you, watch that so-called comedy special, I'm upset. I'm not watching it. And I'm not supporting Netflix and trans erasure. I'm not going to try and out-explain Chappelle's defenders even when he says himself that he is Team Turf. It bugged me all damn night and into the day. We women are good sports. We feminists do have a sense of humor, and we discriminating viewers and audience members know how to distinguish art from pandering for yucks and bucks. I have an MFA, a Master's in Fine Arts, for fuck's sake. I know you appreciate the finer things, which is why you can talk about, say, the art of beer, though you no longer choose to drink it. I heard the poet Saeed Jones and went back and read his words to make sure I got it right, and I think I did. We don't need to hurt ourselves in order to have a conversation. I love you. I love this community. I try not to say too much because reflecting on the current is often the smarter part of diving in. As you well know, Twitter is made up of real people. It's worth considering how we interact there. But it's also an easy target for people who want to deflect blame, and people who don't use it are more than happy to accept this explanation. Signed, Tamara. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you for that incredibly well thought out response, and the good faith and good spirit in which it was offered. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And there's our first meow of the evening. Hi, Kyle. Maybe that sucks. I don't know. I think the issue is put to bed now. We have certainly given. Team Turf man more than his due in all of this. Kitchen hint coming from Scott in San Diego. It's a physical impossibility to serve up soup, matzah or otherwise, using a dreidel. I know. That's why I said ladle. But dreidel, ladle. I get it. Yep. Lee in New York says... congratulations on your insurance approval. Hooray! Just think that a country with the best health care in the world allows a doctor who's never seen you to decide what medical care you need. And this gets a cowbell. We are all Terry Schiavo. I hope I'm not. This will be complicated, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. And yes, I know. And I can bear up anything. Bear up under anything to get to this life-saving place. So, you know what? I'll tell you. I will eventually watch that thing, but I've decided that I'm not going to watch it right now. You know when I'm going to watch it? I'm going to watch it when I've got a lot of time on my hands and I'm flat on my back in a hospital bed having my beet juice cleaned up. And having my wound attended to. You know, that's what I'm going to do. Megan says, I agree with Tamara. Last night left a bad taste in my mouth, but mostly I'm worried for you. Please do not put yourself at risk. You need to coddle yourself right now as you're vulnerable. Please protect yourself. I wish you love, healing, and blessings. Thank you, Megan. Thank you so very much. I will. I am way deep in self-care right now. Anything but the absolute most necessary running around and going and doing is done. I need to get out, make sure I'm building lung capacity and lung power and strength, so I can go out on our little trails where I don't have to worry about running into anybody. And it's a very unlikely that there will be any free-floating Delta variants or any other variants out there, and just try to be in the best shape I possibly can be
this momentous event that is coming. I had some other stuff, but we'll get started. Joey, where are you? Just wondering, because I know Billable is too. Billable Rick asks, Herschel Walker, did you see the story about Herschel Walker canceling a fundraiser with a Hollywood producer who used an anti-vax mandate swastika profile picture? I did. And, you know, Herschel Walker's judgment has not always been the very best. But because he's running for Senate in the state of Georgia, he was put up to run against Reverend Raphael Warnock for a full 6-year term, because the Republicans figured that, well, you know, if anybody, what, you know, what we need is a black Republican to run against that preacher from Ebenezer Baptist Church. And so, casting about, they found themselves Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker, Heisman Trophy winner, 1980 Georgia Bulldog National Champions, running back for the ages. My God, what a running back he was. But even he will admit that he has some shortcomings and has had some problems with judgment. And the fact of the matter is, in his divorce, which the Associated Press got hold of, his ex-wife, Cindy Grossman, said that she was a longtime victim of Herschel's impulses. She told ABC News that at one point during their marriage, her husband pointed a pistol at her head and said, "I'm going to blow your fucking brains out." So, along about 2001, she filed for divorce and said that he was physically abusive and extremely threatening. And so that goes alongside of the fact that, well, he's got a history of writing graphic murder fantasies. He wanted to kill somebody who was late delivering a car to him. And so this time, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he was all set to be, you know, endorsed and have a fundraiser with a film producer by the name of Bettina Sophia Viviano Langlais. I presume that's the French pronunciation, Langlais. And they pulled out at the last minute, they pulled out when somebody noticed that Bettina Sophia Viviano Langlais, her Twitter profile, the photo that goes with it, it's a group of vaccination syringes, needles, done up in the shape of a, because of course, because Republican, because MAGA, a swastika. Yeah, a swastika. And so now I suppose Herschel Walker wants credit for backing out of this. They said the Herschel Walker campaign said, despite the fact that the apparent intent behind the graphic was to condemn government vaccine mandates, the symbol used is very offensive and don't reflect the values of Herschel Walker or his campaign. Now, bear in mind, when it was first called to their attention, the Herschel Walker campaign said, "No, now quit it. That ain't no swastika. There ain't no way that..." Yeah, it is. That's most definitely a swastika. Hopefully some people will be motivated to keep Reverend Warnock in that seat. And maybe at some point in time, our dear friend, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, can fill us in on the way things are looking and the lay of the land going into that 2022 Senate contest. Actually, I think there's probably something close to that after his playing days. And remember, didn't Herschel Walker play for Donald Trump when Donald Trump got into the USFL with the New Jersey Generals? I mean, don't they go back a ways? Bill Rick asked, did he get too many blows to the head while playing football for Georgia and in the USFL and the NFL? I'm just asking for a friend, i.e. Roger Goodell. I think he did have a lot of problems. Lee in New York says, does Herschel Walker know that running for the Senate does not involve actual running? Does the former guy that know that Walker will not be running? Just asking. And frankly, that should be an easy one. That should be a slam dunk, but nothing in MAGA world is ever a slam dunk. No, it's not. Sorry. And just hitting on a couple of high spots before we wander off into the religion industry cesspit swamps. Little piece of breaking news from the New York Times just a very short time ago. The Biden administration announced a plan today to develop... get this. I mean, I love this. To develop large-scale wind farms along nearly the entire coastline of the United States. The Times reporting. The announcement came months after the Biden administration approved the nation's very first commercial offshore wind farm off the coast of Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts on the West Coast. The administration has approved opening up two areas off the shores of California for commercial wind power development. And taken all together, the actions represent the most forceful push ever by federal government to promote offshore wind development. And I'm entirely behind this, because you know what happens? And maybe folks off the coast of Orange County, California, might take this to heart. You know what happens when you have a wind spill? When you have higher than expected, higher than normal wind speed, you just keep getting electricity. You don't have to close the beaches. You don't have to go out and buy cases upon cases of Dawn dishwashing detergent to clean up the ducks and the seals and the otters and whatnot. And the wind turbines just keep turning and turning and turning and turning. Mm-hmm. Damnedest thing, ain't it? Yeah. Of course, I don't know the degree to which congressional action may or may not be needed, but you can bet your ass that somewhere, probably aboard a houseboat in the Potomac, Joe Manchin is sitting there going, well, you know, I just don't think this is right for us. We need an all-of-the-above energy policy, and we don't need electricity going to the entire East Coast and lots of the West Coast, because that'll be bad for coal. No, for fuck's sake. I mean, I wish I didn't, but this is not, it's not hard to envision. And it goes hand in hand with something that the Charleston Gazette recently reported. Headline, Manchin protecting coal industry while profiting from it imperils key climate priorities. And within that article, a few little nuggets of information. Since 2012, Joe Manchin's income has raked in some $4.35 million from stock that he owns in a hustle called Enner Systems, Inc. They're out of Fairmont, West Virginia. And, you know, for years I've told you Joe Manchin is a coal broker. Well, this is the coal brokerage firm that he founded in 1988. And he also raked in another, somewhere between $95,000 to $236,000. Isn't that an interesting range? I wonder why the American people don't deserve to know maybe something closer to a precise number. But somewhere between $96,000 or $95,000 and $236,000 over the same period of time, since 2012, that is, from an outfit that he owns stock in and notes receivable, called Farmington Resources. And they, too, are based in Fairmont, West Virginia. And they're a mining services company. And as of 2020, his Inner Systems stock had a value somewhere between $1 million and $5 million. So you can bet that he will not be there to back this this wind turbine plan. He keeps hollering, "Oh, we need we need innovation, not elimination." And talking about the Democratic budget bill last night, or last month, rather, he said to CNN, he said, "What's the urgency?" "Well, you know, Joe, the planet's on fire. The planet's got flooding like we've never had before. The ice caps are melting." I know, if it's not filthy and covered in coal dust, you see no urgency. But the rest of the planet does, Joe. Lucas Ross at Friends of the Earth said, "Joe Manchin is protecting taxpayer subsidies for the very industries he's profiting from." How about that? Yeah. Going alongside that, the West Virginia Public Service Commission, yay, like we didn't see this coming, has again sided with the people they were put there to side with. There are two former coal industry lobbyists sitting on the West Virginia Public Service Commission, and lo and behold, they decided to stick it to West Virginia ratepayers to keep some filthy, antiquated, rattle-trap, broken-down, beat-up, old coal-fired power plants going past 2028, and yeah, West Virginia ratepayers get the bill for it. Not the power company, not Appalachian Power. No. People who use their stuff. You know, for years I've wanted to take this this house and this studio solar. One of these days maybe I'll be able to, because it really gets under my skin when I see quotes from people like Appalachian Electric Power Senior Vice President of Governmental Affairs Tony Kavanaugh, who wrote a letter to the House Energy and Commerce Committee and said that clean electricity performance standards are forcing clean energy development too rapidly. Now, that self-same AEP and that rate increase say they want $22 million a year from its ratepayers to keep these coal-fired disasters running past the time when we have to be off fossil fuels. Right. Over at Food and Water Watch, they're out of D.C., and they're an advocacy nonprofit. Phoebe Galt, the spokeswoman for that group, said, "Senator Manchin is holding America's future and the future of our planet hostage to his own unabashed financial interests. While he feigns concern for the people of West Virginia, his obstinance risks missing the biggest opportunity we have to move toward a clean energy economy." That's mainly because he doesn't want one of those. Because remember, Manchins never do anything to help people whose name isn't Manchin. Because that's how it, you know, that's how Manchins roll. Oh, and we had a Josh Mandel story last night, remember? Or in yesterday's program. Yesterday evening, whenever it was. He was throwing a hissy over the fact that a cartoon character was going to share a bisexual kiss in a comic book. They're trying to kill America. Well, that was Ohio GOP Senate candidate and serious nitwit Nero fanboy Josh Mandel. And well, according to the Cincinnati Inquirer, a school board candidate by the name of Darby Boddy, B-O-D-D-Y, invited Josh Mandel to attend the Butler County School Board meeting. And, of course, he doesn't live in the school district. He doesn't live in Butler County. But Darby Boddy wanted him to do the talking. Yeah. You know, for pity's sakes. Well, he showed up. Oh, yeah. And he got up to speak. Problem is, the Butler County School Board in Ohio doesn't allow non-residents of the county to, well, I mean, they do. If a resident introduces them as their designee, the person can then speak. But, well, Ms. Boddy fucked up and didn't follow the rules. So the school board asked Josh Mandel to stop speaking. And no, he didn't stop speaking. He continued to bark and growl and hoot and grunt and groan and blather on, attacking the school board for making children wear masks in schools, you know, during a pandemic. Oh, for fuck's sake. And because he wouldn't shut up, two members of the Butler County Sheriff's Department came in and escorted Josh Mandel out of the meeting. And, of course, Josh Mandel then immediately pogo-sticked up onto the cross and said, "The school board was in total violation of their own rules of the First Amendment to the Constitution. They should be ashamed of themselves." Well, you know, you don't get to just stand up and bark and hoot and grunt because the Spirit has moved you. You can do that in church, Josh. But it is not a violation of the First Amendment to say that people have to speak in an orderly fashion and that there are rules for establishing who speaks when. Huh. Thanks, Nidia. Nidia says, "You sound all tinny on TuneIn. I didn't even think it was you." That's odd. Anybody else having any audio difficulties? Anybody listening on TuneIn having audio difficulties? I do appreciate knowing that. But, yeah, it's me. It really, really is me. Unfortunately, Josh Mandel was not charged with any criminal conduct. Damn it. I'm sure he's looking for another opportunity to do stupid things. And speaking of being escorted out, oh, look, it's the Proud Boys. Mm-hmm. This time in North Carolina, where a school board there actually approved a resolution condemning white supremacy and white supremacist groups. And when they started barking and grunting and hooting, well, the Proud Boy was cut off, and law enforcement officers escorted them from the room. It will come as no surprise whatsoever to find out that the Proud Boy in North Carolina was blithering on about critical race theory, which was not on the agenda whatsoever, and one is supposed to, you know, conform one's remarks to the agenda. Orange County, North Carolina, is where it happened. The article was in the Raleigh News and Observer, right? Yeah. The newspaper story said, according to the school board resolution, Proud Boys members have spoken at school board meetings and shown up at Orange High School, including at the September 24th football game, to protest the district's COVID-19 policies. The resolution details emails from teachers and students who describe how unsafe they feel being around the Proud Boys. The comments include people charging that Proud Boys members shouted racist and homophobic slurs at students. Well, of course. And they go on to say, outside of the school, people protesting mask mandates and the district's LGBTQ policies held up signs and argued with counter-protesters. Numerous people wore educate, don't indoctrinate t-shirts, while others shouted about their right to free speech. God. Yeah. But, you know, at least the school board did the right thing and ousted the nasty little white supremacists. Tracy tells me I sound fine, but that it keeps dropping. That explains it. Brother Deacon Asa has the answer. You're only available on low bit rate on White Rose Society via TuneIn. Head on live is head on live TuneIn. Sounds A-OK. Remember, there are two TuneIns, so maybe you want the one with the head on live feed. Or you can just go straight to headon.live and pick up the stream there, and apart from blipping, it should be pretty much bulletproof. Yeah. But speaking of white supremacists, and I promise we will get to the prayer meeting Wednesday portion of the program, I promise. We're in the midst of a redistricting here in West Virginia, as are all other states, because of the 2020 census. God, I'm so old I can remember arguing that it was desperately important that we put Hillary Clinton in the White House in 2016, because even if nobody else was paying attention to anything else, letting the Republicans have control of the census would probably come to no good end. Well, here we are. Yeah. Oh, thank you very kindly to our dear friend Otto DeShot. Otto jumped in and got us started, so we are now down to 12:20. We've got a little ways to go to finish off Friday. Hopefully we'll do that. Thank you. Thank you for jumping in, Otto. Meanwhile, Scary Jerry says, yeah, sounds like vintage 60s crystal set radio. Strike that. A tuned-in crystal set was pretty clear, almost digital, peak analog. Carry on, Missy.
I will. Thank you.
But, yeah, if you go to the tune-in channel that has the head-on live stream, it will no longer be tinny. I'm not sure what's going on with the stream over at White Rose. It might be worth the effort. Raising hand for question. Scott in San Diego says, if I'm not mistaken, presidents put their stocks and bond holdings into a blind trust during their term of office. Not required, mind you, but a good tradition for the better part of 50 years. I'm not sure if Supreme Court or other federal judges also do this. Apparently, House and Senate members don't. What would need to be done so that all federally elected types must go blind trust? Well, Joe will tell you that his holdings have been in a blind trust I think he says over 20 years. But, you know, Joe Manchin or make West Virginia great big old governor, Jim Justice. And, of course, Nitwit Nero all claimed that they had handed over day-to-day operations to one of their kids. In Joe's case, it's Joey Manchin, Joe Manchin IV. And, you know, Nitwit Nero said that he did the same with Trader Tot and Eric the Dumber. Nobody actually believed that they had ceded, that he had ceded control. And, frankly, I doubt if Joe Manchin has either. You don't start something and then build something for that long and then just walking it into the ground. That's okay. Bullshit. Just, you know, bullshit. But, no, like I said, we are in a redistricting here, and it isn't funny, but at the same time it is. Somehow or another, over the last day or so, we've gotten into a conversation about African-American Republicans, those rarest of people, and, you know, I pointed out that being a black maggot is a great gig. Dave Chappelle, I mean, Mark Robinson, the lieutenant governor of North Carolina, is raking in money hand over fist from his hate-filled attacks on the LGBTQIA plus community. God, it's coming in so fast he doesn't have time to count it. And it's a really, really great dodge wherever you are. And West Virginia has a black Republican member of the legislature. And his name is Brandon Steele. Caleb Hanna. Caleb Hanna is West Virginia, the West Virginia Republican Party's black Republican. And he comes from Nicholas County, which is immediately to my north. And his new district, as it's being drawn, is going to include some or all of Pocahontas County. It's a beautiful place, Pocahontas County. But the Republicans redistricted Pocahontas County into Caleb Hanna's district, thinking that, because the only goal of the Republicans in redistricting the state is to protect their Republican majority. A lot of the redistricted districts now put Democrats against other Democrats in an effort to eliminate them and further consolidate the Republican majority. But they oopsied on Caleb Hanna, because it turns out that the headquarters of the National Alliance, which is a white supremacist group, is, oops, in Pocahontas County. And, well, as they tried to explain, Brandon Steele, he said he wanted to keep Caleb Hanna from having to campaign in a community with a white nationalist, white supremacist headquarters. Brandon Steele said, I immediately thought of what position that put our delegate who is African American in. What kind of position does that put him in to go and campaign in that place? I'm sure the non-white supremacist residents of Pocahontas County love being referred by Brandon Steele as that place. And then he tried to whitewash what was going on. This is not a thought about him winning and losing. This is a thought about his personal safety, and what kind of message does that send to the rest of the world? Interestingly, the Republicans in the Republican-controlled legislature of West Virginia didn't worry about what kind of message they were sending to the world when they passed a law and make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice signed it into law banning trans girls from participating in sports in West Virginia with not a word about the trans boys. They didn't put any thought into it when they realized that they didn't give a good goddamn when they set West Virginia up to pay thousands upon tens of thousands of and maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal bills for such a patently obvious act of discrimination. But yeah, they're worried about Caleb Hanna. Sure they are. What it really was, said Brandon Steele, is us trying to do the right thing, which we would do for Democrat, Republican, Independent, doesn't matter. Bullshit. Bullshit. You know what this is really about? It's not about protecting Caleb Hanna. It's about somebody more palatable to a bunch of white supremacists running against Caleb Hanna in a Republican primary and perhaps winning, and then the Republican Party would have to deal with the fact that they had a bona fide, no-kidding white supremacist or white supremacist-adjacent member of their caucus. Yeah. They're just such a hoot, aren't they? Really, they are. Hey, we've crossed under the $1,200 mark. Thank you very kindly, Mark. Mark just got us down to $1,180. Thanks so very kindly. Hopefully we will maybe finish off last week's funding this evening. It could happen. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very kindly. So they are who they are. And they didn't really get away with it. An African-American member of the Democratic Party, the Democratic minority in the West Virginia legislature, Danielle Walker of Monongalia County, said, the change of proposed District 48 is because the national headquarters for the Aryan Nation would be an area where the current incumbent as a person of color could serve. Protect all minorities and candidates. But no, not so much. They're creating 100 single-member districts. And they're hoping that that will make the Democratic minority even tinier. And the latest proposal from the Republicans pits 36% of the current Democratic caucus against each other in primaries. On the other hand, only 5% of Republican incumbents are pitted against each other. Oh, well, don't worry. The Supreme Court won't get involved or anything like that. Don't get it started, Brother Deacon Asa. Don't you do that. So like I said, these days are getting more and more interesting. And we've got, by the way, Mark Robinson update. I mean, they're two cis hetero men who are making wads of cash off attacking the trans community. You'll forgive me if I get them confused from time to time. He's had some more to say, Mark Robinson has, because, well, he's got a good grift, and why do you want to mess with something like that? He's been running his yap hating on the LGBTQIA+ community for a while now. And it works for him. This past July, he unburdened himself of the following things that pass for thoughts in his thin gray settlings.
You want to do the same thing? You're a man, you think you're a woman. A woman that thinks you're a man, you can go have surgery. Do whatever you want to do. It's your business. But here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to force it on my children.
Right!
Woo-wee, listen to them white Republicans clap. They're clapping almost as hard as that crowd in that theater Dave Chappelle was in clapped. Woo-wee!
Yes, sir.
And I'm sorry, but you can't be on the women's team if you're a man.
Man, that hate's a good dollar, ain't it? Whew, it's a big dollar.
Get mad, like it, lump it, dump it.
See, it's time for adults to stand up and start being adults. Clothes. Now here this man is walking out here in the street in his underwear, and all these grown-ups standing out there talking about, oh, what wonderful clothes. kid to step off the curb and say, hey, that man's naked.
Wow, this, you know, a long time ago, another North Carolinian, a famous North Carolinian, pretty decent human being, I guess, I don't know, told the story of Romeo and Juliet, and he told it from the standpoint, he told it with that North Carolina hillbilly twang in his voice. That's how you don't, it's not voice, it's voice. I'm talking about Andy Griffith, of course. And at one point, he kind of scratched his head and said, whew, now I know how Friar Lawrence felt. And people, he got his start doing comedy, doing his comedy bits on the, like, insurance company convention circuit. And eventually, there was that other one called What It was Football. And I just sit back and have me another big orange. And along came a play called No Time for Sergeants, which then became a film, an incredibly popular film, wherein he met his lifelong buddy, a West Virginian by the name of Don Knotts. And wasn't long after that the Andy Griffith Show came along and had a nice long run and launched the career of Ron and his baby brother Clint Howard. They got a new book out. I know that because I seen that my Filthy Morning Habit not too long back. And Mount Airy, which was sort of the inspiration for the fictional town of Mayberry, remains a tourist draw of substantial numbers of visitors to this day. And I reckon Dave Chappelle, I mean Mark Robinson, I reckon he sees the value because he's just told the story of the emperor's new clothes with a nice little North Carolina hillbilly twang. But Lord, Lord, there's a whole lot. There wasn't any hate in What It was Football or the retelling of Romeo and Juliet. But there's plenty of hate here.
I won't be like that little kid. I want to be like him. I want to tell the truth and shame the devil. Well, it's high time. Amen. It's time we start telling the truth and stop being afraid.
Amen.
You know, there's freedom, and there's liberty, and then there's pure lunacy. And lunacy is turning on the Olympics and seeing a man lifting weights against a woman. Lunacy is turning on the television and seeing a story in the local news about a man wearing a rainbow dress with horns in his head, his face all painted up, dressed up like a woman, sitting reading to children.
Hoo-wee! Dave Chappelle, I mean Mark Robinson, don't like him some drag queen story hour. Dressed up like a woman. You know, I mentioned Shakespeare a minute ago. Andy Griffith's retelling of the story of Romeo and Juliet. With that aforementioned North Carolina Tar Heel twang. I wonder, does Dave Chappelle, I mean Mark Robinson, know that every single play written by William Shakespeare, when it was first produced in Merry Old England, had men in dresses in it? Because, you see, the women folk, being all delicate and dainty and like, weren't allowed to be actors because actors were a particular seedy lot. You see, And so when Romeo says, "With this kiss, I die," he's a kissing of a man in a dress. Yes. Oh, my word. I don't know. Somebody needs to get a memo to Dave Chappelle. I mean, Mark Robinson. And explain to him that we got to get that Shakespeare out of the schools of North Carolina and out of the schools of America. Because every one of them plays has had a man in a dress in it. They're destroying America, just like Josh Mandel done said about when Superman's son done kissed that bisexual boy. How? It's too much. No wonder Mark Robinson is a wiping of his face with that big old orange hanky.
Hey, back when I was a kid, my mom used to tell me about it. Y'all go down in the playground now. If y'all see anybody out there hanging around in a raincoat,
come on.
And you don't see no pants hanging out in a raincoat, y'all get y'all stuff and come on home, folks.
Oh, he's funny, ain't he? Oh, my goodness gracious, he is a laugh riot. Maybe him and Dave should go on the road together. My God, they could be a back-to-back absolute laugh insurgency. And the right white wingers would show up for Mark, and the liberals would show up for Dave, and the money would flow like a mighty river. Amen.
That's what we call a pervert, and you don't get out of there.
Right!
Everybody thinks this stuff is new. This ain't new. Somebody somewhere right now on the internet grooming somebody's child to put their hands on them right now.
You know, I hate to break it to you, Dave. I mean, Mark. But somebody somewhere today is grooming a child for sexual abuse, and it's happening in a church, Dave. I mean, Mark. It's happening in a church. Or it's happening in a Boy Scout troop in a church. Or it's happening in a Republican congressman's office. Sure it is. Sure it is. You know where it's not happening? Drag Queen Story Hour. You know where it's not happening? An LGBTQIA+ bar where children aren't even allowed. That's where it's happening. It's happening in Catholic churches, Baptist churches, churches of Christ. But Dave Chappelle, I mean Mark Robinson, ain't going to mention that to the assembled faithful who done got their checkbooks out and writing big old fat money checks to him. Because he's pushing back against the wokeness and the critical race theory and the transgenderism. Been doing this for a long while now. And I love the conversations we have here. And I remember before the 2020 presidential election, talking about how nasty and dirty and filthy it was going to be. And we weathered that storm together, as we have weathered so many others. Let's see, this program's been on the air since the second George Bush candidacy, George W. Bush. Two Barack Obama campaigns. one Donald Trump, two Donald Trump campaigns. And it has just gotten progressively uglier and seedier and nastier. And I can tell right now that it is going to be off the charts for this 2022 midterm. And not to editorialize too broadly, but we had better get our shit together. We had better hang together, or we will surely hang separately. No one is safe. They're going after the reproductive rights of every woman in America. Even the fucking TERFs. They're going after the right to privacy of every American. Male, female, non-binary, gender fluid, the privacy rights of every American. They are going after, with Sonderkommandos like Mark Robinson, the black community with a will. They're going after the Latinx community. They're going after indigenous people. And they smell blood in the water. And the first people they want to nail up are people like me. And more importantly, children like me. And they know if they can succeed in peeling away one little group, one little marginalized group, they will have that much more strength to go after another one and another one and another one. The state of Texas is redistricting itself in such a way as to try to dilute the votes of every African-American voter in that state. Georgia has already done it and continues. And as I said, if we do not hang together, we shall surely hang separately. And all them clapping white supremacist, white wing assholes sitting there barking and grunting and hooting at Mark Robinson. They do. They've got the taste of blood on their tongues and they want more. And I don't care if you are as straight as the edge of a ruler and cis and hetero and white. If you're liberal, if you're progressive, they think you're a fucking communist. And they will more than happily string you up too. And sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers" while they do it. I'm as certain of this as I am certain of anything in this world. Leah, New York, says the emperor's new virus, clothes. Imagine an emperor who could not accept anything but praise. He was convinced that if he wrapped himself in business, he would be a billionaire. So clad in his deals, he was convinced of how good he looked. No one would say what they really saw. Then Michael Cohen spoke up and said his tax returns are showing, and the emperor went to hide at his golf course. Mm-hmm. Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, recruiting. I can't help but see the parallels between the fervor against trans people today with where we gay folks were in the 1980s. Same arguments about being against God, that we were recruiting children to the gay lifestyle. I hope we can get past this quicker than it took us to get past it back then. As far as the recruiting, I'm not sure why they keep confusing us with the Mormons. That's a great dip. That's a great line, Matt. Thank you for that. Because, I mean, yeah, but that's all right, Mormons. Yeah, sure. I always love it when the Mormons go recruiting people with skin darker than a grocery store paper bag. You know, the people that up until the 1970s they said were not fully human. Right. Jeremy in Vermont, subject line, this freak, I can't help but feel the warm love of God when Mark speaks. I mean, Jesus hated everything and everyone, right? Right. Exactly. And wore a dress every day of their life. Scott in San Diego says, I think you're channeling, Robin. Channeling your inner George Jessel or Senator Joseph McCarthy with his Dave Chappelle, or Mark Robinson thing. Ancient super patriot George Jessel did it on the Today Show in the early 1970s during an interview with Edwin Newman. He kept confusing Pravda with the Washington Post. McCarthy did it too in the 1950s when referring to Adlai Stevenson. I forget who he confused Stevenson with. I'd expect better from you than to take a page from the likes of Jessel or McCarthy. I really would, Robin. Well, Scott, I'll stop. I will, as quick as somebody can tell me the difference. Anybody? Bueller? Two cis hetero men making a fortune on one of the most marginalized communities in America. Tell me the difference. And I will happily wait. I'm not beyond being convinced. I'm deeply offended at being compared to Joseph McCarthy. But I can't tell the difference. Is it the different venue? Churches instead of theaters? The clapping sounds the same. The hate sounds the same. The topic is the same. Tell me where the difference is. I mean, I'm up for being convinced. Meanwhile, Megan says, "Ew, Robin, I'm going to have to read my entire Shakespeare collection and watch Tu Wong Fu Thanks for Everything Julie Newmar about 1,000 times to cleanse myself of listening to this." Blech. I know. Remember, y'all hear it once. I hear it several times before the program ever even goes live. Well, thank you. Thanks for the reminder. We have an anniversary coming up. The horn does. And it's coming up in 11 days. The 24th day of October will mark the 16th year. In which we have been consecutive broadcasting almost every day, Monday through Friday, October 24th. We went live on October 24th, 2005. Of course, I'd been doing the show, you know, in America's fifth smallest radio market a couple of years before that. So we're approaching two decades of progressive, liberal, independent broadcasting. And I think I've been so consumed by everything going on that, you know, if I had not been reminded, it might have just blown. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you. Let's check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Oh.
is this where you say we're all screwed?
No. I have to be very, very careful in choosing the course of my portion of this conversation. Because I certainly am a fan of yours. I like to think of myself as being a friend.
Absolutely.
But I think you missed the intent of my last email.
Okay.
Robin, you're probably one of the brightest people on radio or the internet today. I think everybody can agree.
Well, thank you.
With that. But when you did that Dave Chappelle, Mark Robinson thing, it took me back 40-some years to a Friday morning, if I'm not mistaken, when Edwin Newman was hosting the Today Show and Georgie Jessel was there to talk about how great it was that we were winning in Vietnam or whatever the fuck it was.
Or
why we lost it in Vietnam or whatever the hell it was. And and Newman called him on it. He kept saying, well, I read in Pravda, the Washington Post, that blah, blah, blah. I forget the exact verbiage. But he did that about two times, and Newman kicked him off the show. And back then, the Today Show was a respectable venue.
Thank you for adding the back then.
God knows. I mean, but what I'm, the troubling thing is, that, and McCarthy, I wish I could remember who McCarthy, quote, mistakenly confused Adlai Stevenson with. But it's such a cheap right-wing, transparently flimsy gimmick, and it just rubbed me the wrong way. And all I was trying to say was,
well, I'm not upset, Scott. I'm not.
Well, you do words better than anybody on the air today. And I know we all can't have brilliant days every day. It's just that struck me as not worthy of you.
Well, I so sincerely appreciate that.
Well, I hope you do. And
I do. I do. I'm not being a smartass. I sincerely appreciate it. I love these conversations where we try to reach a better understanding of things. God knows the right wing never does this. You're never going to hear this conversation on whoever it is that's filling in for, you know, dead Rush Limbaugh.
Nobody fills in for Rush anymore.
He's being filled in by a pineapple. A lot of them.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, the word Dole appeared on his forehead, and I don't mean Robert or Elizabeth. I mean, Dole as
yeah, he's on the Dole in a much, much more sort of, shall we say, visceral way now.
Oh, that hurts. Oh, God, that hurts. Can you imagine doing that for eternity? Well, he deserves it. But I don't know. It's just
let's work on this. I was not doing it for shock value. I was doing it to try, because I've asked a question. And I can't seem to get an answer.
Well, there is a difference. They're in
what is it?
Chappelle is. It says on his tax form every year he's a comedian. Okay, on the other guy's tax form, I don't even know if he pays taxes, but it's like politician or preacher or something like that.
Okay.
And after you watch the show, if you ever do, I suggest they're going to give you some fucking heavy drugs, and you're going to have Scrooge. You're going to have the modern equivalent of my Scrooge experience when I was in recovery a couple of days after my tumor surgery to take it out of my head. They had me, I don't know what they had me on, Robin, but I was on some heavy fucking duty drugs. And this is around Christmas time at the hospital in Kansas City, and I was there for a week after the surgery. You know, because the brain's an intricate thing. But they had TV. And on one of the channels, it was a closed circuit, in-house sort of thing, where it was the same three or four Christmas movies. And I'm whacked out of my skull. And it seemed like every time I would regain any semblance of consciousness, the Bill Murray movie Scrooged would be, and that was a fucked up, crazy ass movie to start with.
No, Carol Kane, just Carol Kane alone.
Yes, but here I am ripped to the proverbial tits, trying to make sense of this in an opiate haze. And it wasn't until years later, and I watched Scrooge, that I saw that that movie was, you didn't need drugs. It was already kind of bizarre. But anyway, I digress. I don't even know where I was going with that.
Well, okay, let's
No, no, I know. When you
hold on.
Backed out real good.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I already know what I'm going to be on. I mean, I can tell you. Because we're all taking this trip together. I'm just doing the messy part. I will have a spinal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that will cover me largely, as far as pelvic pain is concerned, for the first 24 to 48 hours.
Jesus.
And once that wears off, it'll be a few days of Rush Limbaugh's favorite cocktail, OxyContin.
Oh, man.
And a steady dose of ibuprofen. That's it. And after a few days, it'll be nothing but ibuprofen.
To quote Slim Pickens in Dr. Strangelove, well, a fella could have a pretty good time
in Vegas with this. Yeah, I know. But to get back to it, okay, one says comedian, the other says preacher. I think this guy's a preacher. He's got too much. I mean, he's got the hanky and shit, okay? He's got the preacher vibe.
And is this guy of the colored persuasion? I had no idea.
Yes, he is the highest ranking Republican in North Carolina, and he is an African American.
I swear to God, I had no idea. I thought he was.
And
just
I mean, he is
stone.
he is twice the man I am or ever was.
Is he a big beefy dude?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why is he carrying an orange hanky? That's so unmanly.
So one is an entertainer, but I would argue that you are not successful as a gospel sharp unless you are entertaining. So I would say that is probably a bit of a distinction without a difference. But that is a difference. But the things that I think make them more similar than different lie in the fact that they are both making a shit ton of money off of attacking and punching down against a marginalized community. Do you disagree?
Actually, you answered the question yourself, the original question, which prompted my call. I think the major and distinct difference between the two of them, I don't think even on his worst day that Chappelle would walk up to you and shoot you between the eyes on Fifth Avenue or anywhere else. Whereas this other guy, Robinson, probably would, or if he didn't have the balls to do it, he would get one of his crazy, you know, twisted friends.
Well, and that's where I differ with you, because it's exactly that. He would never do it, because he doesn't, you know, he takes Beretta's advice to heart. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. So he'll just get somebody worked up enough to do it for him.
Well, but what I'm saying is, I don't...
And then he'll answer, well, my friends, I am only an entertainer. I am not responsible for what some crazy person does.
We know how that works out. But really, I'm serious. This guy is hateful in a way that it would play out where the end result is you or anybody else that he doesn't like would be dead. I don't think there's that going on with the comedian guy. And I don't want to go 2 days in a row.
No, it's okay.
About Chappelle, but I just, maybe it's just me. I'm kind of frustrated about something.
Oh no, there are people who are upset with me, because you know Dave Chappelle, by God, he's a liberal. But the last couple of specials have been decidedly illiberal.
I don't know anything other than his stand-up specials, and I've seen two or three of them. I know he lives somewhere in Ohio, which I think is kind of interesting. in a small town, which seems to me...
Where he's just Dave who goes to the grocery store.
You know, I'm white and liberal and lived in Cincinnati for a couple of years. And my experience at Ohio was quite unpleasant because you could feel it. I mean, Cincinnati is the home of WLW radio, the superstation.
The 50,000-watt blowtorch, yes.
Yes, and if you know anything about their programming and their philosophy, it's all right all the time. And by right, I mean right-wing, not right as in correct, okay?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a reason that the right-wing went out and bought the entire, practically the entire collection of 50,000-watt clear channel blowtorches in this country.
Well,
because they understood the value of pumping this nation full of that poison.
If you know anything about J-Core, which was the predecessor to Clear Channel, and I think there was another step between J-Core and Clear Channel, this guy Randy Michaels, that was one of the crown jewels in his crown when he acquired WLW, because you're right, he saw this as an opportunity to pump out 50,000 watts full of hate and madness, and even more at night. That station's got incredible coverage. Most of the United States.
Oh God, yes.
That fucking station after sunset.
And you know, I wonder what KMO, you know, another blowtorch, KMOX. I wonder what their daytime programming's like.
Well, KMOX is a different thing. They're a CBS station, and they're like an adult station. I don't believe they, now I could be wrong because I haven't heard them for some years, but I think they're more civil and more in keeping with the mandate.
I always confuse WLW and WWL New Orleans.
Yeah, WWL is another, you know.
And then there's WSB Atlanta. They're right-wing garbage all day long.
Yeah.
What about WGN, Chicago?
Chicago, yeah.
Remember, that's where Malloy landed for a few years and kicked ass and took names.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I wouldn't give you 10 cents for radio by and large today. I mean, it's hardly worth...
Right, because we ceded the battlefield to them. We didn't even put up a fight. Because, you know, it's far more fun to spend your limousine liberal billionaire money star-fucking and getting a picture standing next to Barack Obama or Bill Clinton.
Well, there's a remedy for that, and I've spoken of it a number of times. Every certain number of years, every TV and radio station in America comes up for license renewal. And if people got activated and energized and organized and really put their minds to it, they could challenge, maybe sometimes successfully challenge, the licensure, the license holding capabilities of some of these individuals and companies.
Do you know,
it's a huge effort,
yeah,
but it might be worth trying, and you may win, lose most of them, but win a few of them.
Well, you just walked right smack dab into something that I recently learned about from our dear friend Haley over in Arkansas. I did not know this, but she told me in the course of a conversation about, you know, toxic broadcasting, WLBT is the only WLBT is the only television station ever to have its broadcast license revoked. It was 1969 because of how it handled news and programming during the civil rights era.
Where was this again?
WLBT.
Yeah, but what city?
Because
I think I know that case.
Let's see here. Mississippi.
Yeah, you're right. And it was a black group that challenged the license. I forget the guy's name, but he was a local civil rights person or an attorney or something. I think it was in Jackson. Was it Jackson, Mississippi?
Sounds right. I don't have that immediately to hand.
I think if I'm thinking of the same thing, yes. And they successfully challenged a TV station's licensure to a certain group. And they took that station over, didn't they? I think that's how it worked out.
I don't know that. I don't know the fullness of it. I just know what I got from.
I'm pretty
skimming,
sure it was a
skimming the article
challenge
that Haley sent me. But
pardon me.
All I know is the bare essentials that I got from what Haley sent me. But
yeah,
the bottom line is that is a tall mountain to climb.
Oh, I know.
And now, if you tried to do it, it probably would be rejected on the basis that they're not doing anything everybody else is doing.
Well, and see, that's
isn't
because
doing,
it's
I
gone
suppose
too far. If we had been diligent and vigilant back when Clear Channel was beginning to become a force in this country, we might have stood half a chance. But as it stands now, virtually all of publishing and broadcasting and motion pictures even is all under the umbrella of about half dozen companies.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, except this show, thank God. You know, but I don't know. I didn't mean to snap or go.
Oh, I didn't. No, you didn't. And I hate the fact that I upset you. I don't try to do that.
Well, I'm responsible for if the upset is occurring here. There's nothing you can do or not do if I already choose to be upset. It wasn't even upset. It was just the fact that you took me back to George Jackson and Edwin Newman. God bless Edwin Newman, the most intelligent man and literate man on TV or radio.
And by the way, you'll find this interesting. Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan points out the right-wing Spanish radio stations. The right is buying up Spanish radio stations to spew their hate-filled propaganda. They're covering as many bases as they can. You know, they bought black radio stations. I mean, I remember a story several years ago about some particularly odious piece of garbage that was being spewed in the form of a political advertisement on so-called urban radio. Oh my God, I cringe every time I see that phrase in, like, you know, a broadcast magazine. But yeah, they're covering all their bases because they know what the hell they're doing. They're savvy.
Did you know that I once in the 90s briefly worked for an urban radio station?
No.
I did. 100 point something, The Wiz. My favorite program director that I had in Kansas City in the 80s, we hooked up later on after I moved to Cincinnati, and I heard him on the radio at The Wiz, and I called him. I said, Bill Bailey, God bless him, best guy, best radio executive I ever knew. And he said, what are you doing? What are you doing in Cincinnati? And I kind of caught him up with my adventures and drab and wretchedness. And I said, you got anything shaking, you know, work-wise? He said, yeah, I could use you on the weekend doing overnights. Now, here I am, the whitest fucker in America, Robin, working at an urban station. I can barely say Sade, okay? Or I forget some of the artists we used to play. But I lasted all of, I think, a month and a half because I was just not hip enough. I was just not with it, down with it. And I think I was on medication that kind of kept me from being upbeat and personable. But that's another story for my book. But yes, my resume, if I choose to send one out for a job in radio again, will include a brief stint at The Wiz.
Were you jocking?
Yeah. Playing the urban hits, the smooth jams, and the ding-dong wagga-waggas, or whatever the liner was.
And I guess just because I have to know.
It wasn't a good fit, Robert.
How long did this gig last, Scott?
It was a couple of months on weekends. weekend overnight.
That was a great line, though. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to walk over it. Wasn't a good fit, Robin.
It was definitely not a good fit. There's a lot of formats that I can work successfully, but urban wasn't one of them. But yet, sometime after that, I went down the dial. Actually, I switched over to AM and worked for the better part of a year for a jazz station. WNOP.
Yeah, see, I can see that. I mean, I could see, you know what I could see you doing? See you doing, which is so funny because we're talking about radio. I could easily see you hosting it's probably the 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. morning swap meet. God, God, I love those.
Tradios.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say, you know, on some easy listening FM station.
Well, that too. You know, real,
and now
real
another
soothing
hour,
voice.
Menopause Melodies on Easy 99.
Cool Jazz 102.3.
No, I didn't do cool jazz. I did real jazz.
No, but I can see you doing cool jazz too.
No, that's like elevator music. That's for elevator music for people who take the stairs. That does that new age jazz. I couldn't do that. Give me some Miles or give me some anybody.
But, and now here's the Sex Pistols with their cover of Paul Anka's Having My Baby.
I hate to break it to the listeners, but Kenny G is not a jazz musician. He's a long-haired clarinet player or sax player or something that does good instrumental work.
That's an alto sax, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't. The fillings in what's left of my teeth go bad every time I hear the dulcet
I don't know why. I don't know why you admit it. Maybe it's the hair, but the minute you mentioned Kenny G, I immediately flashed on that video that's still extant. Fabio, who was brought in to pitch the inaugural ride of this Wang Dang Doodle super colossal roller coaster, and pulled into the station with a face full of pigeon.
Yeah, well, there you are. No, Kenny G's hair.
Why am I laughing? That's horrible. I'm ashamed.
I don't know what he looks like now, but back in the day when he was on the charts, it was like he was a reject from the Chia Head factory. I mean, it's like, whoa. How'd you get hair like that, son? I know we shouldn't make fun of how people look. God knows I shouldn't be making fun.
No, I'm trying to get better about that. I mean,
so tell me more about this toaster that you've got, Robin. How many slices does it take? And because we know that somebody out there in Radio Land needs this toaster.
Well, Scott, it's a fine toaster. It's been in the family for generations. And one of the coils works on both sides of each on both of the slots. So what you kindly got to do is when your toast pops up, you got to turn it. You got to flip the slices around so that then they will toast on the other side in each of the slots.
Oh, I see. And now were you like shooting Pop Tarts at the kids one day and it went? You broke one of the coils?
Well, no. Little Chlamydia Jean one night, it wanted some toast, and she done it herself, and she had just got done washing of her hands, and she put it down, and Little Chlamydia Jean, you know, she had the straightest hair, but it is all curly now after after she put her wet hands down in the slot there to try to turn the toast around. And I tried to explain to her, honey, you got to wait. But she didn't. And so, and we had to rewire the whole house.
So is she doing all right? She's.
Well, I reckon she's all right. I mean, granted, you know, what we do is we turn her in a we turn a little Chlamydia Jean in a different direction when we want to change the channels on the TV box.
Well, there you go. That's a good way to learn.
She gets a real strong signal on a clear night.
Some RF coming off a little chlamydia gene. Well, but pat her on the head. Wear a rubber glove when you do it, because or be grounded.
Yeah, well, you've met little chlamydia gene, haven't you? We all wear rubber gloves. We do.
She helped me change a tire. She stood there and glowed in the dark while I.
You know, she's good like that. And when them little beams of light just come right out of her eyes, I tell you what, we spotlight deer with her some nights. In deer season, it's almost heavenly.
It's almost heavenly. She looks like a little angel there beaming. I'm a sunbeam.
She is. She absolutely is. And that's why ever since the toaster incident, Scott, we only buy sunbeam bread.
Well, there you go. And not a better bread is there to be had.
I tell you what, I'm willing to part with this family heirloom. In exchange for a not particularly overused hide-a bed, or I'll swap. I will swap for $3.15.
Well, I think somebody will snap that up in a hurry. I think if anybody wants this toaster, it's got a story behind it, a heritage. This is the time to act. Oh, my.
See, you'd be awesome. You would be awesome.
I don't know, man.
See, I think Swap Meet Radio was the origin of talk radio.
You know, it might have been.
And, you know, as far back as into the 90s, when I was living in a very rural little West Virginia county, there really was one of those every morning. And, I mean, the whole county tuned in. The ratings out of that county for... The Today Show or Good Morning America or any of that stuff, were shit because the whole county was tuned in to that swap meet program because, I mean, it was some of the finest broadcasting you've ever heard in your life.
Did they have any restrictions? I remember the guy in Kansas City in the 80s who did, it was called Tradio. No guns, no pets. No automobiles.
I think the only restriction on this radio station was no bodily fluids.
Well, I'll just have to find another place to market my specimen jar. We've got Uncle Zeke's final specimen there when he was toward the end, and it's corked real good. We got a wax seal on the top of that.
But
thing,
see, no bodily fluids does not exclude one from offering up one's necklace and earrings made from Aunt Eunice's kidney stones.
Oh my dear, that is a one of a kind item, and those go pretty quick here on Tradio.
Aunt Eunice worked real hard for a long time to get them kidney stones.
Come on, passive units. You know you can do it. It's the last one, maybe. Jesus. God.
One more. Come on, Aunt Eunice. One more, and we can put the clasp on.
This call has taken a decided turn. I was ready to hit you with something at the start. Now we're just laughing and having a high old time, Robin. Well, anyway, I'm glad that you let me vent my spleen. I'll put it back in the jar now that I'm done with it, and wax seal that mother, and maybe I'll bring it on Tradio on Saturday afternoon. Think anybody want it?
Well, we'll just put it up. We'll put it up on the community bulletin board and see if anybody salutes.
I say, what is venting a spleen? Is it, does it have louvers and a little switch that you? Wait a minute. Stanley, you better vent that thing. It's starting to smoke.
Jesus. I had to give up golf because of mine.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Something about your stance.
Apparently on the backswing, or maybe on the front swing, it was possible. The surgeon was concerned that I might torque it too much and make it go all pop.
Oh, there's nothing worse than a torqued up spleen.
Yeah, because, you know, when you've torqued it, you definitely have to vent it.
Well, there you are. Well, listen, I'm going to make room now.
Okay, and I have to tell you, Billable Rick has handed you a cowbell.
Uh-oh.
for Kenny G's hair looking like a reject from a Chia Head factory.
Well, there you go. That's how it struck me.
Now, we just ad-libbed that whole swap meet radio thing and not a single cowbell, and my feelings are hurt.
Well, I don't have, I've got bells on the door, but I'll have to get
No, I'm not blaming you. I just feel like we're both being underappreciated, that's all.
Well, you know how the fans, I'll tell you, the public is a fickle lot, Robin. A fickle, fickle lot.
They are, and you know, and fickle folks have fickle fingers.
Do you, before I go, real quick, this is a viewing tip for you that doesn't involve Dave Chappelle.
God love you for it.
Do you have TCM on whatever you watch TV on?
I do.
On the TCM Now or Watch TCM or whatever the app is, Clark Gable was in a movie with Sidney Greenstreet and Adolph Monju and a bunch of other people called The Hucksters. Have you ever seen the movie The Hucksters?
I don't think I have. That sounds fantastic.
It's about a guy who comes home from the war, Clark Gable, and goes to work for an advertising agency. And Sidney Greenstreet is the president and owner of a...
My dear fellow.
He's the owner and the founder and the head of a soap factory that advertises a lot on radio. This was like in 1947, even before TV caught on. The Hucksters. I'm telling you, watch that movie. I think Deborah Carr is in it. Is it Kerr or Carr?
Carr.
It's Anita Carr singers.
Deborah Carr.
Carr actress. Okay. The Hucksters. But anyway, it's on the TCM Watch app. And you just fire that puppy up and you'll thank me later.
I certainly will. I'll try to try. And is it on for a little while?
Well, let me tell you, I can answer that question directly. I will fire up my TV app here and scroll down. I've got a whole bunch of shit to watch on this thing before they expire. Oh, The Bad Seed is on there, too.
Ooh.
That's another one that's good. The Hucksters is on standby until October 29th, so you got a good long while to watch that. Another one that's good, Bright Leaf. Gary Cooper and Patricia Neal. It's about a tobacco farmer back in the 18-something or other. Bright Leaf. And there's even a documentary, and I can't remember the name of it, but a documentary by a descendant of the person that Gary Cooper was portraying in the film Bright Leaf. Watch both of them. You've got a lot of viewing to do there, Robin.
Oh, I'm going to have plenty of time on my hands.
Yes, you shall. And plenty
I want, above all, to be able to get back to doing the program. Like I said, I've looked at my wireless mic. We can just clip it to my little pajama top, and I can, you know, hopefully set up an arrangement that makes it really, really easy to do this.
Well, I hope so.
And
see, because you said 6 weeks.
Well, I'm going to be. I'm going to be down there for 6 weeks. Because there's a 7 days checkup. So that's like you come back for a checkup 2 days after you get out. Then there's a 14 days checkup. Then there's a 1 month checkup, and then there's a 6 weeks checkup. Make sure, because he wants to make sure that he's not going to have to take you back in and do what are called revisions.
Yeah, God knows. Well, see, that's, I mean, take it easy. Don't come back before you're able to and ready to without hurting yourself. But damn, I can't imagine the horn going 6 weeks without current stuff.
No, I can't. No, I can't either. I mean, that's. It is absolutely my plan to be set up and ready to broadcast as soon as I am ready to broadcast, you know, have that little apartment down there. That's why I'm going to try. I don't want to just live in a motel room for 6 weeks. That would be Oh, that's a special brand of hell.
Oh, I know. I know. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you let me vent my spleen or whatever it was that was putting out that noxious smoke.
You're fine. And, you're fine. And
all right. Well,
you're great.
See, I've got a deadline coming up for some paperwork for a benefit that I've been receiving regarding, you know, medical stuff.
Yeah.
And I lost the paperwork, misplaced the paperwork, and then I found it and forgot that the
date was coming up. I was going to ask, I remember that you were a little bit behind the curve on getting your vaccine. What is your 6-month anniversary for your second vaccine so you can get your booster?
Oh, Jesus. Let me look at the card. I've got the two, main shots.
Now, did you get Moderna or Pfizer?
I got Moderna on 5/21 and 6/19.
Okay, so under the best of circumstances, you will not be eligible until December 19th.
Yeah, but I think the Moderna, aren't they just about ready to okay the booster?
I thought I saw a story yesterday that said that it had been okayed. I know people who have already gotten a Moderna booster here in West Virginia.
Yeah, I would prefer to stick with the brand that my first two were, because I'm not much for mix and match. When I would go to my grandmother Katie's house, she'd sometimes have a dish of candy out on the coffee table, and it was Bridge Mix. Well, some of the things in Bridge Mix are just delightful, them chocolate-covered raisins and chocolate-covered nuts, but occasionally you'd get something that was like icky, just icky and sticky and nasty and bleh.
Nah, right there. Yeah.
Blech. Give me Whoppers any day. I don't mean the Burger King sandwich. I mean
malted milk balls. Love I love those. You know, because when they're good, you know, the chocolate melts away, and then the malted milk thing just sort of dissolves. But every now and then, you get one of those shitty ones where the malted milk interior is all either hard as a rock or chewy and disgusting.
We have a name for those. Those are Limbaughs. Don't you get a Limbaugh?
Don't you get a malted Limbaugh?
Yeah, I would get these things, and you can't eat them one by one. I'd take two or three or four or maybe more and shove them into my mouth, look like a chipmunk, and I'd drop one, and it'd roll across the floor, and the cat would chase it, and then the bird would get all upset because
to this day, one of the most entertaining things that takes place in this house is when we throw a full-size marshmallow down the floor, and little Miss Lucy goes after it and proceeds to play marshmallow hockey for about and absolutely delighted. Just one, and she'll swat it sometimes, and she'll have those claws out, and the marshmallow will get stuck on her claws, and then she stands up on her hind legs and does the marshmallow dance trying to get it off of her claws. It's just cute as hell.
Get that on video. I want to see that.
And bless her heart, if it's an unopened bag of marshmallows, she will carry it around like a golden retriever carries a tennis ball. It's the sweetest thing you've ever seen. Because, you know, a bag of marshmallows doesn't weigh that much, and that little kitty can actually carry it. It's sweet.
Oh, well. On that happy note, I will bid you adieu for another day. And watch those movies, and that's it. I mean, that's all I got.
Well, that's
the
wonderful.
Folks got a I just hope you
feel better. That's what I want.
Well, I do. I'm snappish. I'm sorry. I need to get laid.
We try to be a full service radio program here, Scott, but I'm afraid we're not going to be able to help in that regard.
And I wonder if you got a getting laid department on your tradio show there, Robin.
What did I tell you? No bodily fluids.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting so old, it's just a puff of dust. I mean, come on. Anyway, I think I've gone into the toilet here, so I should hang up.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
We will talk soon. Scott, you take care.
All right, Robin, take care.
Bye now.
See ya.
And that was a delightful conversation. I think it's absolutely fascinating when we really do try to delve in good faith into these knotty, not naughty, but knotty issues. By the way, John in Central PA says, every once in a while you say something patently false. You claim HeadOn.Livestream is a sound way to listen to the program, but for me on a mobile device, some days it's fine, other days it's not. Like tonight, it'll play for about 1 minute, and then it buffers for a good 5 to 10 minutes. Those are the symptoms. And I don't know what it is, because we're not, Brother Deacon Asa tells me every time we blip. And we had a couple of blips early on, and then the stream completely collapsed. I think some of this is a tune-in thing. But then again, if you're listening direct through that's not a tune. I don't know. I just open the microphone and talk. The technical aspect of it is somewhat beyond me. But thank you, John. Thank you. I said I had received no answers as to the difference between Mark Robinson and Dave Chappelle. Well, Brother Deacon Asa says, I swear this had to do the live-action reenactment of Dave Chappelle's black-white supremacist character, Clayton Bigsby. The man was blind, so he didn't know he was black, and because he always wore his bed sheets and pillowcases to the Klan meetings, the white people didn't know he was black either. Hashtag life imitates art. Probably not that far from the truth. Cowbell for puff of dust. That's from Les. Thank you, Les. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, dear sweet Jude. We are now down to 11. Let's see. 1160. We got 1160. That's where the fundraising hole is. So, thank you very kindly, Jude. It means the world. Thank you. And this from Andy the Angry Jew. Subject line: difference. This isn't some shtick. This isn't some bit. This is an actual intellectual inquiry. And Andy says the difference, well, one is elective and one is elected. That's a big difference. And then says, I'm on your side, but I'm not. I don't like censorship or canceling comedians just because you don't agree. He made Jewish references in the show, and I laughed and moved on. No one fight is more important than the other. If you've watched him over his career, then you know what to expect. It's not for everyone, but it should be everyone's choice. I don't think you can question my appreciation for the show, but as you've changed, so has the show. I'm not saying that's bad or good, just a fact, or at least my opinion. I think you've made your point, and it's your show, but let's move on. Those that don't like it are right, and those that do are also right. If we censor art, we're one step away from what we're fighting against. I just wish we could move off the gender issue 100% of the time. Again, it's your show, and I respect everybody's choice, but when it's an issue all the time, it becomes ponderous. I'm not the type to go along just to get along. It's like I'm getting in my face all the time from every direction. Can I respect somebody's choice and yet feel inundated by and constantly being pushed? I think there are bigger issues than Dave Chappelle worth fighting for. Again, ending a sentence with a preposition, don't lose your sense of humor, Robin. Dave's a friend. Dave's friend did not. Wishing you the best for your upcoming evolution and the best of health to everybody else. Different perceptions and opinions are always good, and that's the point I've been trying to make. It is good for us to have meaningful conversations about these decidedly difficult issues. And I got a note from Nidia. I realize the conversation with Scott is a microcosm of a larger dynamic, but really distinguishing hateful in one way is better than the other. I watched Chappelle early this morning, and while he attacked almost everyone, humor is a very powerful tool which people use to justify ridiculing others. I have this question for the community. How do you think trans kids feel watching this? And, I mean, because we know by virtue of empirical evidence how adult trans people feel. Then this note from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. I enjoy the debates about Dave Chappelle and the one about cinema's clothing. For myself, both subjects are quite simple. One, good comedy never punches down. You punch your level or you punch up. So I'm 100% in agreement with you, Robin, and don't think you should give Dave any of your precious finite time, especially not this week. I adore stand-up. I do too. And even dated a comedian once. He was hilarious on stage. but the cruelest person I've ever known. Funny that. Two, I agree with Steve and Todd that, like it or not, our culture long ago decided that the way a person dresses in a place like a church, a courtroom, a job interview, or the Senate demonstrates how much that person respects that place or not. If you show up at my grandmother's funeral in ripped jeans and bare feet, I will not appreciate it and will feel disrespected. The only way you'd get away with it is if I knew for a fact that it was the best outfit you owned. But generally, I don't care what people wear or about their hair or makeup, and I didn't get the feeling that Steve or Todd do either. I think their point was respect for the occasion. If cinema represented my ideas 100%, I would still be over here saying, man, I sure wish she'd dress for the occasion because she's making my ideas look ridiculous and no one's taking her seriously. That's the way our culture's set up. Maybe even our species. If you look around the world and see how much value is placed in personal presentation, so much time and money spent, and I've no idea how to change it. Thank you so much, Joy. Thank you. Yeah, and in the final analysis, clothing. You know, once you get past covering up things that you don't want to be bitten off by some random wild animal, or slithered into by some random wild animal, all clothing is expressive. That's why, for instance, in Europe, not just Europe, in the Americas too, we know this. Cultures go through these convulsions where you have these things called sumptuary laws. And it dictates what people can wear depending on what class they are in. At one point in time in Europe, it became the rage to wear, and we've all seen them, you know, the pointed toed shoes. I mean, you'll often see them on depictions of elves the holiday season. But it got so ridiculous that they were practically disabling. And so various crowned heads of state in Europe and even in the Valley of Mexico said, well, in the case of pointed shoes, Europe, you know, no more pointed shoes, damn it! And it's an attempt to control expressions of wealth that make the wealthier people feel like that the less wealthy are trying to get all jumped up and uppity. Those are attempts to control fashion as a function of expression. So there's that. It's a fascinating topic. And I don't necessarily want to live in a world where everybody's walking around with a fig leaf or some piece of animal skin covering up the more vulnerable parts of their bodies. And I really appreciate what Andy had to say. I try not to make it about gender all the time, just like I, in the past, tried not to make it about mountaintop removal all the time. This is an everything show. But this program is also dictated, its content, by the things that are happening in a given moment. And it's going to be hard for me not to talk about the attack on the trans community when that's what the Republicans seem to be, and the maggots and the seem to be fixated on. And I certainly do not mean to be ponderous. So, there we are. And I think I'm pretty well, as we come up on the third hour of the program, I think we're pretty well caught up. Well, oh, wait, I've got a prayer meeting Wednesday story. Another one. Hey, this is great. And I'm going to the phones right here in a second. Archbishop for the Military Services, Timothy P. Broglio, released a statement yesterday, in which he said, no one should be forced to receive a COVID-19 vaccine if it would violate the sanctity of his or her conscience. Well, what a classic case of will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest. Dude is trying to, he's actively encouraging members of the military of the United States to to commit insubordination or perhaps even mutiny. I didn't know. I had no idea there was an archdiocese for the military services, and it had been around since 1985. It's not necessarily entirely the American military, because this archbishop is appointed by the Holy See. This particular clown was appointed by Pope Benny the Rat, the Nazi Pope. He was quoted by Catholic News Agency, a publication of Eternal Word Television Network. Yeah. So, according to this cleric, this awful priest, the fighting readiness of the military is subordinate to an individual's desire to or lack of concern for spreading a deadly pandemic. It all just gets so tiring. And as to Archbishop Broglio, David in South Carolina, Stan says, how about other vaccines? How about the other 18 vaccines required? Why just this one? Well, you know, this one has liquid barcodes in it. I thought you knew that, David. I'm being a smartass here. I apologize. Yeah. So let's run over to the phones and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
How you be?
You know, I'm so much better now.
I've heard. You know, it's nothing better than, you know, the fear of a lawsuit. And because remember, I think, you know, I and a couple of other folks, Stephen York, were like, you know, lawyer.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you went that route because, you know, I call smoking bullshit.
Well, yeah, but I have to give all the credit to my surgeon, because he actually talked to Dr. Thumbfingers. And I'm sure he was perfectly rational and reasonable and calm and cool and collected. But, you know, Jesus, I mean, there is no outpatient surgery like this. Just like there's no outpatient heart transplants.
Right.
Or outpatient Scott surgery.
Right.
But, you know, but remember, insurance companies are capitalist exercises. And as a consequence, money is their central focus. That's why progressive people are and have been for so very long so goddamned angry about the fact that people's health and well-being is subordinated to the need of an insurance company CEO for a fifth ski chalet.
Right. It's like, at what point is enough enough? It's the almighty dollar. So all that good shit. So I am, you know, I'm over the moon about this whole situation. Now you can, you know, start looking for a place to stay, and you should, you know, there's still enough time that you should be able, hopefully the place that you looked at previously is still available. And all that good stuff. You can start the planning phase of this, you know, getting all your supplies ready and everything that you need to make this, to have this, what you've been needing to make you who you're supposed to be. And I am just, I'm very happy for you. So, I know, you know, I've heard the word ponderous and about making it all about gender and all that. So excuse me if I'm about to make this shit about gender. Half and ever. I listened to the show yesterday, and typically I usually can't call in because I have the kids in the car and I can't really.
Yeah, that whole earning a living thing.
Yeah, that whole earning a living. But I decided today, a couple of the kids didn't ride today, so I took the afternoon off because, you know, I'm going away tomorrow. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to work. I'm going to, you know, enjoy my day and just kind of chill. And so I said, I'm going to call in because just about the whole Dave Chappelle thing. And so now, granted, yesterday when I was listening to the show, I had not watched. For all transparency, you know, to be completely transparent, I had started watching the show the other day when you and Dan Fisher were talking about it. And I tried, but I was tired and I couldn't. And trying to watch stuff at my house at times is very hard with the wife coming in and out and the dog barking and stuff. But I want to give it my full attention. So I made an effort to listen on my commute this morning because I just wanted to get my stance on it as a queer Black whose dear, dear friend is a trans woman. Because, see, I have all these lenses that I have to view things through. If, you know, that thing called intersectionality. And how does this affect me as just not just a woman, not just a Black woman, not just a queer woman, and also a woman who is the friend of a woman who is going through transition. So these are the things, this is how I viewed Dave Chappelle's show. Now, granted, Dave Chappelle is brilliant. Motherfucker is funny as fuck. And yes, I laughed at quite a few of the things that he said. Like when he was talking about, you know, beating up the lesbian. And I'm like, it was because I'm thinking, yeah, there's a couple of sisters that I know that I had to look twice. I'm like, oh shit. You know, but then it took it to the whole nother level. And, you know, talking about even with the looks, you know, about talking about the gay people and stuff like that. I had a problem with when he was talking about the baby, hit him straight in the AIDS because I remember the 80s. I have friends that I took care of who died of AIDS, and most of them were Black. Gay men who died because old 666 himself never even acknowledged that AIDS was even a thing. And this is before Tracy even knew that she was queer. This is Tracy having humanity and loving her friends and seeing them suffer for no other reason but besides being Black and gay. So I had a problem with that because I didn't find that at all funny. And then, you know, there was other bits that I laughed at and, you know, talk about, you know, getting set up by the transgender girl's mother and stuff like that. I'm looking out for her own safety, and she's out and proud and all that. But I think what troubled me, and I understand everybody's like, well, he's a storyteller. He's not a politician. And, you know, you should give him leeway. And on certain things, I will give the brother leeway. But what I will not give him leeway and what I will not accept that he is speaking for the whole Black race is when he equated the thing about the TERFs, equating that with a white person wearing blackface is the same as with how TERFs feel about transgender women. When a white person puts, and this is, I'm not speaking for the entire black race. I am speaking for Tracy Michelle Porter, who has been a black person for 55 years. And who is, but for lack of a better term, a student and a scholar of black studies. Now, as my major is Africana studies, so this is the shit I study. And now, even if I didn't study, but as a black person who has watched movies and from Birth of a Nation to The Jazz Singer to all these other movies, fuck, even as recent as Tropic Motherfucking Thunder, what blackface means. Blackface is a white person making fun, degrading, and mocking, and for lack of aping a black person, and minstreling, cooning, making a black person look ridiculous, making it just to justify treating a black person as less than, as not human, because if they are human, then you can't treat them this way. Then you can't treat them this way. Then there is, you can make fun of them. A trans woman is not being in any shape, form, or fashion a woman. A trans woman, the only difference between me and a trans woman is that I was born with a vagina and a uterus. That's the only difference. And again, I am speaking as me, as a woman who was born with a vagina and a uterus. What Robin is about to do, and any other trans woman or any woman, trans woman who is not going to have the surgery, either because by choice or because she can't have the surgery. Because look at what Robin is going through to get her surgery. This is not something that she is doing lightly. This is not a choice, people. This is something that she is doing to save her life. This is not her mocking women that were assigned, you know, female at birth, cisgender. This is not her making fun of women. This is not her denigrating women. This is her becoming who she rightfully should be. So when you talk about the difference between Dave Chappelle and old boy in North Kakalaki, oh, well, you know, that's art. Okay, to a certain degree, yes. It is hard because Dave Chappelle is a master. But the problem is, comedy can be very, very dangerous. Because comedy gives people, well, shit, the shit is funny. Holy horror, horror. But if that shit is funny and it's going to cost somebody their lives, because it's like, they don't matter because they're not real women. Then what? It's hateful to say that when Robin, after her surgery, is a wound and not a vagina. Look, she's going to have a brand new for JJ. Shit, my shit is 55 years old. That shit is worn out.
Yeah, easy, easy, easy. You've got the vast majority and just about all the guys in the community cringing. They're a little bit just cringing right now. Just
I can do.
Yeah. I know. And that's why I'm careful about details.
Okay. But the thing is, this is who she is. And when you dismiss what she's going through and saying, well, Dave is just joking, he's an ally, I don't see I see him as an ally to a certain extent, because I the story that he told at the end about his friend that was the comedian, transgender woman who was, you know, and it moved me to tears. It hurt my heart to hear that she committed suicide because, you know, the way he told the story, she committed suicide because of her, speaking up for Dave after that one show on Twitter. And so he's saying that the reason why she committed suicide is because the trans community dragged her. Now, we don't know if that's the case, but did she ever stop to think about the reason why she may have committed suicide is just because of the way the world treats her or treated her, and a lot of maybe because of what the things that he made, because of the things that not only he said, but the things that have been said to her over and over and over again. There has to be taking some responsibility for what's going on. Okay. It's because even at the end, and it was tragic and it was hurtful, and I cried, and I ugly cried on that one because it hurt my heart for somebody to lose their lives. But even when he told the story, then he's going to tell the daughter if he's around when the little girl turns 21. I'm going to tell you, you know, I knew your father. He was the best woman I ever knew. He still misgendered her. So again, so in answer to your question, Robin, what you were asking yesterday, I found it harmful. It was no different from the brother in North Carolina than Dave Chappelle. I didn't see any difference, but that's my opinion. So your thoughts?
Well, I mean, obviously, like I said earlier, I'm going to wait until I'm flat on my back to watch this.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and maybe can nod off with the help of some better living through chemistry if it gets really awful. I just find it all entirely too facile. Easy answers are seldom the correct ones. Which is kind of an opposite corollary to Occam's razor. But, you know, in regard to her having committed suicide, you have to, you have to realize she had probably been suicidal for rather a long time, because it's a disease. It's an absolute disease inside the community. Because trans people are crazy, but because of the treatment they receive at the hands of society at large. I can't tell you how awful this dude in North Carolina makes me feel. All I can do is compare it to how awful the other guy makes me feel. And yes, you know, it's kind of wild. For the bit that he did on Netflix before this one was called Sticks and Stones, and of course that comes from Sticks and Stones Can Break My Bones, but Words Can Never Hurt Me. But that's bullshit. Words can hurt. That's why we have, for instance, you know, fighting words laws. Oh, rats, I lost Tracy. And she was probably not in the best of shape before she got dragged on Twitter for defending a millionaire who needed no defending. And the you know, Nidia asked earlier, how do you think a trans kid with, you know, and let's posit an older trans kid, you know, 18, 19-year-old trans kid. How would that person feel? Watching that. Well, 40% of trans kids have at least contemplated suicide. And that's how you get more people like the person he memorialized. And so I think, I hope, and I'm hoping that Tracy will jump back in, because she's, I don't think she's hearing what I'm saying right now. Yeah, I hope there's been some learning out of this. And you know, Andy, I'm sorry that he also took a run at Jewish people. It's one thing when a Jewish comedian talks about his Jewishness. God knows, over on Amazon Prime, they've got a hit among hits with the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and that's a thinly veiled sort of biography of Joan Rivers. And it's tremendous comedy. I'm reminded of Groucho Marx, who, in addressing the anti-Semitism that was rampant in country clubs in Los Angeles, said, I wouldn't be a member of any club that would have me in it either. Because he was brilliant. That is wildly different from some person who is not Jewish standing on stage and making mean-spirited jokes about Jews. There's nothing funny about it. And laughing at it is, well, it says equal amounts about the person telling the joke and the person laughing at it. Like Joy said, you punch your level or you punch up. Punching down isn't funny. Punching down is just cruelty. So, that. And, Tracy said, sorry, stupid phone. So we may hear back from her. Well, dang it. Let me see if I can... There we go. Because there was actually another issue that I wanted to go into with. That's actually, yay, not related to this issue. Because it addresses it, or it's an issue that is being under kind of underreported. Tracy, are you there? Tracy. Unmute, Tracy.
Oh, well.
Got us.
Oh, son of a. Okay.
So I'm sorry you didn't hear the end of that, but I think I got it all said. But I wanted to shift gears with you a minute because you're out there, and I keep reading about this massive freighter traffic jam.
Oh yeah.
Off the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just growing.
Yeah. It's really bad, Robin. It's I mean, I was watching the news the other day about it, and it's like for the truckers, so you know they'll get there at whatever time in the morning and sit for hours and hours and hours and hours, and then get told to leave without a load. You know, meanwhile, you know, the longshoremen, they're getting paid by the hour regardless. And, you know, I'm not talking shit about the longshoremen because it's a union job, so yay, union. But I don't understand and what the reasoning is. I mean, this has been going on for months. I mean, like, when we leave tomorrow on our trip, and because that's what a lot of people say, when you're flying in and out of L.A., you can look down and see the ships, the cargo ships, you know, just stuck out in the ocean or the bay or whatever, trying to get in. It's crazy.
So, what's the root cause?
That's what I don't know. Cargo ship crisis. So they're saying, because shipping containers are unloaded from the ships at the container terminal. Some of it is because of COVID and staffing. But I'm just like, I can't understand if that's it. It just can't just be just because of staffing. I can't imagine that's it. There has to be something else. And they're saying now that it's really, they're looking at it really going to be affecting Christmas, you know?
Oh, yeah. Christmas, I just saw, and that's what reminded me, there is there's always the It toy at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's the LOL dolls. I have
what
no
idea. What the hell is the LOL doll?
Beats the hell out of me. But it is. It's the It toy. And like, you know, little tykes, cars, things like that. And I guess they're bobbing somewhere on a freighter off the coast of L.A. And they're desperately trying to get this stuff on so that we can have a good American-style commercialized Christmas like Jesus wants us to.
Well, one of the things also is about infrastructure. And that our, because one of the things that I remember hearing is the fact that our ports here in L.A. and Long Beach just aren't up to the task of what needs to be done. I think the last time there was any major investment in updating our ports, it's been, I think, something like a few decades. And that's the problem, too. And also, again, these companies laying off, the railroad companies laying off people. And bottom line, our reliance on, you know, how much of the stuff that we buy here in America is made overseas.
Right. I mean, I guess that's kind of where I was going. To what extent is this a little object lesson in maybe we should make our own shit, make some of our own shit?
That part.
I mean,
made, you know,
and I'm not being nativist or nationalist.
No. That is not the case because.
But those LOL dolls and those little tykes cars are probably made by, you know, some 13-year-old chained to a table in, you know, Guangdong Free Trade Province. And we tend to forget that consumer choices are moral choices. This one guy profiled in the Wall Street Journal article, Mr. Baker, John Baker, said, it's very, very, very hectic right now. It's the nature of the beast. It's more dramatic than what I can remember. That, according to the CEO of Walmart. And it affects everybody. I was listening to NPR on the way home today, and I heard
National Petroleum Radio.
National Petroleum Radio. And Somebody remarked that if you want to buy a car, you better be planning on buying a high-end one, because those are the ones that are getting all the chips, because because the car manufacturers can get more money out of them. And the thing is, it's a domino effect. Mr. Baker had already faced weeks of warnings that Chinese factory owners were running out of storage space. If Mr. Baker couldn't get the toys shipped out of Shenzhen soon, they'd stop making any more. His boss, Isaac Larian, founder and chief executive of MGA, issued near-daily reminders, Christmas is on December 25th. And Mr. John Baker said, I feel like my team is down by 5 points with 10 seconds left on the clock. We're just running out of time. And the way the, and you know, the Wall Street Journal editorial page is a filthy little birdcage liner. But their actual news reporting is not terrible. So what they write here is that since the COVID-19 pandemic, the once finely tuned worldwide assembly line has limped along. Worker illnesses are shutting factories and ports in Asia, a once reliable source of inexpensive manufacturing. Floods and hurricanes are disrupting the orderly flow of raw materials. Oh, look, climate change. The shortage of semiconductors has limited availability of everything from cars to computers to video game consoles. There's a shortage of cargo containers to ferry goods across seas and truck drivers to deliver them. Freight rates have hit record levels. I know.
See, and, that's the thing. And when you didn't, you know, like, going back to, you know, besides the fact that, you know, maybe, you know, remember back in the day when we, you know, we're old enough to remember that if somebody gave you something made in China, it was a slap in the face. It's like, what the fuck are you, what? You know, yeah. If it wasn't made in the United States, how dare you? What kind of, you know, and now it's, this is an anomaly if anything is made in the United States. So you have that issue, but then back to what I said earlier about infrastructure and how we need this, you know, we need to come up, make our ports up to, you know, speed, bringing them up to speed. But then we got those fools in Washington with their thumbs up their asses, keeping the infrastructure bill from being passed. So, you know, we got that shit too.
Right. I mean, this is a perfect storm. I had a note here from Ron in Raleigh saying, I've been meaning to ask, when an entertainer or athlete says they want to do more research before they take the vaccine, my question is, after listening to one of the foremost epidemiologists in the world, let alone in the U.S., how will this research manifest itself? Since I don't believe Nicki Minaj has any advanced degrees in medicine or science, nor do I believe whatever research they do will be superior to what's been put forth by the CDC or NIH. I can only imagine how many people would have contracted polio if this anti-vax thing was extant in the 1950s. I just hope that an even more virulent disease does not come along. It could be a real world The Stand. Yeah, it could be a real world bubonic plague.
Right.
It's being fueled by stupid people.
I think that's what upsets me the most. What I remember last year, I think I said this about, you know, when people were, you know, bitching about wearing a mask, and I'm going, we're being held hostage by stupid people, and because this was before we got the vaccine, and I was thinking, okay, we got the vaccine now, so things are going to get better. But no, because we're still being held hostage by stupid people who are now screaming, you know, it's my right. And when they say my right, my body, it's like, well, how is it that it's your right? You can make the decision not to get the vaccine and hold me hostage and the rest of the country hostage, but it's not my right to decide what I want to do with my uterus. Hello, crickets? What? I mean, what is the difference? I, I, you know, again, like, you know, I'm not a legal, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not the smartest person in the world, and I don't have the, you know, Kimber what? Okay, thank you. I, you know, my reasoning skills and stuff like that, but it stands to reason. Why is it that you can decide not to take the vaccine, but a woman can't decide what to do with her body?
No, I mean, and of course, you know, they use that my body, my choice thing as a mockery of women's desire to manage the workings of their own bodies. And it's mockery.
You know,
it's mockery.
It's exhausting. It is so exhausting. And I think you were saying earlier about, and I think you and Scott were talking about this, about if we Democrats don't get our shit together and vote Democrat, and, you know, and not and fuck this pure, I mean, as you know, yes, there's people like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema and stuff like that, but it's just everybody's not going to be everybody's flavor, but we have to get behind people and stick, because these motherfuckers are coming for us. And they got the machine, like you guys were talking about the radio stations. It's like, I don't understand, you know, I've only been politically aware just really in the last 12 years, 13 years, and mostly because of listening to your show. And I'm aghast. I was like, so I'm the typical Democrat, you know, just not really paying attention. And thinking that everything is, you know, we should be in charge, you know, things should be done the right, you know, decently and in order, and the good guys will, you know, eventually win. That's not how this is working now. We're going to get ghetto stomped. We are going to have that scene in what was that movie, American X or whatever, when they put the man, made him put his mouth on the sidewalk, on the curb.
Right, yeah.
That's what's going to happen to us. Because if we don't get our shit together, because there's no nice way to put this. Like you said back in 2020, vote as if your life depends on it. And our lives depend on it. My life
because it does. Because it does.
You know, vote as if you're a queer black woman. Vote as if you're a transgender black woman. Vote as if you, because even and I'm saying this jokingly, but I'm saying it is with all seriousness, because they are coming for us. And I know what it's like to be pulled over and worried that I will not see the next day. I know what it's like to go to jail for and the only reason why I'm in jail is because I couldn't afford a real lawyer. I know these things. I know if we had a better kind of government and there would be accountability and stuff like that, the things that have happened to me and other people who look like me, I know that if we had a decent government, there would actually finally be, I don't know, an anti-lynching law. That's a federal anti-lynching law. How is it that that's not a thing? How is it that, you know, people have to go into debt and lose their homes in order to pay for if they get sick? What? How is it that people living, you know, can't even afford to buy food? How is it that gas is damn near $5 a gallon in L.A., but they're pissed off about people making, you know, crying that $15 an hour is too much money? And that unions are terrible. What is it? Why are we even entertaining these questions? You know, I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing. We know what's it. It's so frustrating to know something that is happening, and yet at the same time be utterly unable to do anything about it. You know, I on social media, I guess we can push back when people we know post absolute horseshit about the virus or about the vaccine. And I do. I find the Reddit Herman Cain Award to be extremely helpful. Kentucky Snowflake, because, you know, we do one of these every night. Kentucky Snowflake accepts his Herman Cain Award. And so here's the Snowflake posting on April 26, 2020. Robert F. Kennedy exposes Bill Gates' vaccine dictatorship plan. Coronavirus whistleblower, Chinese government manufactured COVID-19 in Wuhan lab. That's September 18th of this year. Back on January 16th, the Epoch Times, which is just horrible. 55 people died in the U.S. after receiving COVID-19 vaccines.
I didn't know what side it was on.
A son asked for prayers for his mother today as she's suffering a severe reaction from the Pfizer vaccine. On and on and on. Man dies minutes after taking first dose of Pfizer COVID vaccine. None of these are from reputable sites. Facebook doesn't care. The cookie crumbles, and so the cookie starts to crumble. Daylight killers. The masks begin to fall off. The Chinese biological laboratory in Wuhan is owned by GlaxoSmithKline, which accidentally owns Pfizer.
I didn't hear what you said. What?
And it goes on and on. And eventually, you see the post. I'm going to miss you, Dad. Damn COVID. You beat cancer 4 times, but not this. You fought so hard, but your body was tired, and it was God's calling. You know, he spent months and months and months posting anti-vax information, and then, well, you know, goodbye.
Okay.
And finally, something actually helpful as well through BuzzFeed. They just posted an article on the side effects of basically what happens to you when you decide to treat yourself with horse paste or sheep dip, ivermectin. Hallucinations, shortness of breath, tremors, drowsiness, 9 days in the hospital to survive, altered mental status, nausea, rash, itchy skin, abdominal pain, dizziness, low blood pressure, tachycardia, headache, blurred vision and visual hallucinations, confusion, tremors and loss of coordination and balance, seizures, central nervous system depression, decreased alertness, and coma. And God help you if you take it in combination with benzodiazepines or barbiturates. If you're taking the blood thinner warfarin, it can fuck you up. And yet, the Poison Control Center calls over ivermectin are through the damn roof. Because the maggots trust the company that makes the horse paste, the pharmaceutical company that makes the horse paste, but they don't trust the pharmaceutical company that makes the actual vaccine. Tracy, I got nothing. How about you?
Nope. I don't know. I am clueless. I'm doing a Marvin Gaye. Makes me want to throw up both my hands. Because I've given up. I can only do at this point is just, you know, save myself and the people around me and pray, because these people aren't going to listen. They are too far gone. But again, the problem is, because they're too far gone, I have to sit on a plane and wear a mask. I have to show proof of that. When I go see Hamilton next month, I got to sit in a damn theater with a mask on. I got to show proof of vaccination. And, you know, here in L.A., not L.A. County, if you're going anywhere inside a restaurant or anything like that, you had to show proof of vaccination.
I don't follow the NBA that much, Tracy, but are you familiar with, I mean, maybe by name, a player by the name of Kyrie Irving?
Is that the idiot that won't get vaccinated?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was reported the Brooklyn Nets are not going to offer him a contract extension. And he's done wonderful things. Somebody reporting he bought George Floyd's mom a house. He paid tuition for 9 HBCU students. Bought Christmas presents for 200 plus kids. Provided 250,000 Thanksgiving meals in the New York City area. Gave $1.5 million to WNBA players. And somebody on Twitter, whom I have no idea who he is, let's find out, Joe Pompliano, says it's a shame to see him being called selfish for not getting a vaccine. Well, you know, you can be multiple things.
That part.
Several things can be true at the same time. This dude was willing to put his entire team at risk.
At risk. And again.
And it's not going to do anything to him. I mean, he might have a headache. He might experience some low grade side effects, but he's damn sure not going to die. The head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, Steve Nash, said that the decision on Kyrie Irving was difficult but sound, because, you know, the Nets, you know, what they did is they said, you're not going to practice and you're not going to play because the law of the city and state of New York says you can't.
Mm-hmm. Simple. Again, you'll listen.
So the rest of the team has done the right thing, but not this dude, because he is putting himself in front of his teammates and in front of his fans and in front of everybody.
In front of all those people that he will, you know, if he don't have no job no more. And I said it like that. If he don't got no job no more, he won't be able to do all that stuff that he has done since.
That he has fought his entire life to do.
Right. So, okay, bro. Is this, like you said, is this the hill you want to die on? Is this the hill you want to give up your entire, you know, all that stuff you went through to get to this point, you know, from when you started playing, God only knows how old he was when he started playing basketball, you know, from the park leagues to, you know, elementary school and middle school and high school and college and all that. All that work.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry. As soon as I was able to get the vaccine, and thank God, you know, this one of the few times I'm happy that I'm overweight because of my underlying condition, I was able to get my vaccination before, because I'm overweight, so I was able to get get my shot, my vaccination, before a lot of people because of my weight.
Well, I know people right now who are quarantined because they are positive. And I know people right now who are quarantined because they were in contact with the people who are positive. And I am so incredibly angry at the people who made it possible for these people to be exposed, these people who are dear to me. Furious. But of course, you can't know who it was. Because I live in a 40% vaccinated state. So, in any group of 10, it's 6 of them. And therein lies the fury, the anger, the awfulness. And meanwhile, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice threw a hissy last week and said, there ain't no way there's ever going to be no goddamn mandate in West Virginia. I don't think he said goddamn. Oh, but he was hot. So this guy, the most powerful man in the state of West Virginia, the state of West Virginia's only fucking billionaire, has said to the people of this state, I am abdicating my duty as governor. And I don't care what happens to the rest of y'all. I've asked you to get the vaccine, I've asked you nicely, but you don't want to get the vaccine, so fuck you, it's on you. But innocents take it on the chin, and especially the children. Children who can't be vaccinated and are living in fear. But we're supposed to feel, we're supposed to feel solicitous toward the people who are making it worse. Let's check in with Pete Colson. 67-year-old man, sometime last week, or 2 weeks ago, or about, after spending 3 weeks in a hospital, horizontally crucified, well, he got his Herman Cain Award. Now, he's not just another person. Pete Colson spent the final days of his life, weeks, months, weeding out left-leaning curricula in the Idaho K-12 public schools. There is no left-leaning indoctrination in Idaho's public schools or any other public schools. And he did this at the behest of the Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, Janice McGeehan. Well, she sent this right-wing activist, Pete Colson, to do his stupid task, his imaginary task. And needless to say, dude was not vaccinated. Instead, he told people, I'm vaccinated in Christ. You know, because it is prayer meeting Wednesday. Well, vaccinated in Christ, Pete Colson died gasping for his very last breath. Oh, well. And I guess Janet McGeehan, they'll find another twit, another jackass. I don't know. Did I lose you? Are you back? Are you back,
no,
Tracy?
No, I'm listening. No. I was listening because I was just. My thing is,
I'm so sick of these people.
At this point, the only thing we can do is protect ourselves. I'm just hoping that by the time
that the booster will be ready before Jen and I go to on our trip in December.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to Louisiana stand and Mississippi stand. What are their vaccination rates in those two states?
Oh, Mississippi stand? It's that term that that Trey and Kentucky Stan coined. Mississippi Stan is a COVID crockpot.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, that whole area.
Let me see. When did I get...
Alabama, Mississippi Stan, Louisiana Stan, Texas Stan. They're all... what's the old Palmolive dishwashing detergent slogan? You're soaking in it.
All right. You're soaking in it. So is it 6 months from your first vaccine?
Second.
Your first shot?
Second.
Or your second?
Second.
What's today's date?
Today is the 13th of October.
Okay, so as of tomorrow, I can get my booster.
Excellent. I would not do it before I had anything to do. I'd maybe try to do it on a Friday when I knew that I just had some downtime.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're still trying to figure out what's happening, you know, because I got Moderna. So.
And you'll have to check around. Like I said, I thought I saw yesterday that it had been approved.
Well, I'm seeing different things about Moderna, and so what I'd probably wind up doing is, like you said, maybe Veterans Day weekend or something like that.
Yeah.
When I know I don't have to work and I don't have, you know, even if I have school, it's no big deal. I could just, you know, work, you know, because everything's online, except for my Friday class. But, I'm hoping to be able to get it sometime in November. So, did your brother have Moderna? Uh-huh. So, update. So my brother-in-law, my wife's brother got his shot. He had Pfizer, but apparently on the and Kim was excited about it too. Apparently on the news, they're saying that it's okay to mix. It seems like it.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing that to one degree or another in Europe for quite some time now, especially people who got J&J.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Pfizer or Moderna boosters.
Right.
So. You may recall we had a note from a listener out in the northern end of California who said that they just kind of slipped in, and I forget if it was Moderna or Pfizer, but they got a second one because, you know, the word started breaking about J&J and it not being quite as effective. And I had a question from Randy Radar.
Mm-hmm.
Have they had Bridge Day yet? No, Bridge Day was scheduled for the third Saturday in October. I thought I knew the date there.
Didn't they put up wanted posters for for canceling Bridge Day?
Yeah, it's the 16th. It's this coming Saturday. There will be no base jumping. There will and the bus drivers aren't driving bus. Because they don't want to drive around in a metal tube full of COVID. They've canceled the bridge walk. So there'll still be something, but it's not going to be. And some people are just, you know, furious. Goddamn government, you know. Okay. I'm going to make sure we're well provisioned and everybody has everything they need, and I'm not setting foot off this property on Saturday.
Oh, so another thing that And I say this, you know, I'm so upset about this, and so many other people are as well. Did you know Mark Harmon has left NCIS?
No. The horror.
On top of everything else.
And NCIS is, I know, NCIS is your jam. Well, I'm kind of crushed because last Friday was the season ender for Ted Lasso.
And I still haven't watched that show. Maybe I'll watch it on the plane.
And maybe, well, I think it'll be back in October.
Of next year.
Or maybe August or September of next year. So that's going to be a long wait.
That's going to be a long wait.
But we're having a hell of a fine time going through Loudermilk. Dave number 11 put me onto that. And
now, which streaming service is it on?
Ted Lasso's on Apple.
I know he's on Apple, but who? Where,
Loudermilk is on Prime.
Okay. So speaking of shows, okay, so there's this really rando show on Fox called The Big Leap, and so it's about the show is about a reality show about these people who are, you know, basically losers or what have you, who are getting a chance to dance. And at some point in their life, they were dancers or whatever, and they lost their chance to dance. And so I like the show. It's a sweet show. And there's some underlying dirt in it too, and it's like, oh well. But because sometimes we just need to escape, and I recommend it because I don't know how it's going to be. Oh, it'll be on Hulu, so because they stream it, and it comes on Monday nights at 9 o'clock on Fox out here, so. Then it streams on Tuesdays on Hulu, and so that's what. Oh, and What We Do in the Dark.
Well, for horror fans, I am told that Midnight Mass is amazing. I am not a horror fan.
Yeah, because speaking of horror fans, because I know you're not. What We Do in the Dark is not horror. It's funny as fuck. It's about vampires, but it's funny. But horror fans, you have Evil on Paramount Plus. My God. It would freak you out so you can't watch it, but it is so good. And then you'll be able to watch as well. You never watched The Good Fight, right?
I did not.
Okay, so you're going to have so many things that I'm going to force you to make sure you watch. The first season of Why Women Kill is amazing. And that's on Paramount Plus as well. I haven't watched... I know you told me that Star Trek Discovery is good. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it is. It takes some getting used to. Ooh, I'm excited about this. Ron and Raleigh just said The Expanse returns December 10th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That was just... And I loved the cast of that. Well, it's time for me to roll out of here, but...
Oh, yeah, you gotta go, because I have homework to work on and a paper that I'm supposed to be working on.
I heard. But, somebody's expecting a draft of that thing, last I checked.
Yeah, whatever, bitch. Anyway... See, this is why I can't come home, because this is why I do so much better not coming home during the day, because I got TV and the refrigerator and all sorts of distractions. This is why I need to stay my ass gone. But anyhow, that's definitely what I'm going to work on. So on that note, I just, you know, and
I think we have worn that issue, that particular issue, out, and nothing further need be said about it. We are done.
But I just, only thing I have to say is I am so over the moon happy for you.
Thank you.
Well, you already know how I feel. And my heart broke when you told me the news, and then it leapt when you told me the new news. And I'm just glad that you didn't give up.
They do this on purpose, and no legal system holds them to account. They don't learn because they don't have to learn. And I wonder how many people, and I'm not just talking about this particular kind of surgery. I wonder what the actual rate is across the country. Some think tank is bound to have sorted this out of people who get denied on the first pass through by their insurance company. And then just give up. Or people who don't have the wherewithal to fight. And, you know, it really pisses me off on behalf of the doctors. Because their time is valuable. You know, I have great respect for doctors. I have no respect for insurance companies because they are nothing but parasites. You know, I guess in a way, we need a sort of a national horse paste for the insurance industry. You know, one of the arguments against universal single payer health care. Yeah, but what about the people, those hardworking people at the insurance companies? Those motherfuckers! They're sitting around denying claims all day. But my doctor had to take 1 or 2 or 3 hours of his precious finite life to explain to an idiot acting in bad faith the fact that you don't do surgeries like this. And I mean any of the surgeries he does. You don't do it because he's a urologist. And you don't do any of the surgeries he does and just, you know, slap a bandage on it and send people waddling out into the street. And God alone knows how many times he has to deal with insurance assholes like he had to do today.
Well, it's...
I mean, it pisses me off.
Well, when I... When... For SSDI, you know, and what you have... Because... I have a mental illness. Fortunately, I have people advocating for me and helping me, but everybody doesn't have that. And then a lot of people wind up losing their Social Security, their SSDI, because of all the stuff you have to go through to keep it and all that. It's like, if I have a mental illness or whatever, do you really think that I have the capacity to keep up with the paperwork? You're talking to somebody...
And they know that, and they act accordingly.
Right. You're talking to somebody that, you know, would go weeks without leaving her house or getting off the couch, barely get off the couch to take a piss, let alone go to the mailbox to check her mail or even open her mail. Really? And like you said, and they count on that just so they can kick people off. Motherfucker. So anyway, I love you. I am so happy for you.
Thank you.
And you know, I'm just, now you can breathe.
Indeed.
You can.
Now we're under the gun and we can start, you know, planning with extreme prejudice. This is. I mean, there's going to be some serious list making going on.
Yes. 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 So, well, anyway, you take care of yourself. You know, I will be around. If, you know, I'll probably chime in, pray maybe once up in on Friday on the front porch from Denver, sitting
That'll
in front
fun.
Of a slot machine.
Oh, my. Make it rain.
Make it rain, bitch. Make it rain. Bitch, better have my money. Anyway, take care. You be good. And to my Horn family, I love you guys. And if I get a little crotchety and ugly and, you know, about my opinions, it's just because I love Robin and I just don't like to think that I don't want her. I don't like to see her hurt and her feelings and all that. So, you know, don't take it out on her. It's all me.
You're an angel.
I'm out.
You're an angel. Thank you, Tracy. Take care.
Good night.
Bye
now. You too. Bye-bye.
And by the way, thank you very kindly to Shorty in L.A. I saw your other notes, dear. Shorty said, I miss a lot when I go away to email. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. Scott in San Diego says, tell Tracy 5.9% cost of living adjustment in 2022 for Social Security folks. That will be welcome. Thank you, Scott. And thanks to each and every one of you who keep this program on the air. I think the fundraising goal will be $1,440 tomorrow, Thursday, $1,440. Because we did knock it down some this evening. Thank you to those of you who did. Thank you so very much. But thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan this evening in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to Malloy is at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them, please, to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your booster. If you've not gotten your vaccine, for God's sakes, get that. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer liberally, carry it with you everywhere you go, a pocket, purse, backpack, European-style messenger bag. Use it, carry it, wear gloves if need be. Don't feel bad about staying home. Probably not a bad idea. Limit your movement. Maintain your social distance. Remember, Paul from Parts Unknown says 15 to 20 feet if you possibly can. Wear your mask. And don't take any shit for it. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes up to you talking about how we got to get rid of that left-leaning ideology curriculum, CRT in the school systems in Idaho, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.